a new year, and the same old way to get caught up on North Carolina politics. It's the WNC Politics Pod. I'm Jeff Tiberi. It is Friday, as usual, time to have a discussion about some of what is going on in the landscape of state politics. Here for the conversation are Rob Schofield from the Progressive NC Policy Watch and Becky Gray with the conservative John Locke Foundation. Happy New Year.
Hi, guys. Happy New
Year.
Happy
New Year.
We recorded this conversation before the holiday. In three words, pandemic, protests, politics. It was obviously a year. COVID upended our lives. A murder in Minnesota led to demonstrations about fundamental inequalities. And a divisive campaign ended with a new president-elect. However, few bridges, if any at all, were mended. The collective masses continue to argue over masks and science, police brutality and disparities, as well as the future of our nation. A big, admittedly, question to start. Are we any more unified today than we were a year ago? Rob?
Wow. I mean, I don't think we're quite there yet. I see some inklings of hope. I think the fact that the pandemic really laid bare the divides that we have, in a sense, maybe puts us on the road to healing some things. It really laid bare this massive and unsustainable economic divide, the huge racial inequality in our country, the sort of just threadbare nature of so many core public structures that have been eroded over the years by disinvestment. But, you know, one thing I take as a very hopeful sign, and that maybe offers some hope for bringing us together, is the success of the vaccine plan, the way it was brought together, this public-private partnership, this sort of all-hands-on-deck approach to solving a huge, grave existential crisis, perhaps provides a blueprint for us, a template, if you will, for attacking a lot of other crises that we confront, most notably the climate emergency. I think that's maybe one of the most hopeful developments. And the fact that obviously we have a new administration that, although many people still remain skeptics of whether the election was fair and all that, these crazy conspiracy theories, I think we have a president now who is committed to trying to bring the nation together rather than dividing it. So I entered the new year with at least a modicum of hope that we can bridge some of these divides.
Well, yeah, Jeff, and, you know, to your question, you know, are we more or less unified than we were a year ago? Just looking back over the last year, who would have thought when we were talking this time last year that we would be talking about this time this year with everything that has occurred? So I guess my question back to you would be, you know, define unified. I think that to Rob's point, getting through all of this, and of course the pandemic has defined this entire year. And I think that it also has had big impact on the other two things that you mentioned, Jeff, of the protest and the politics. The pandemic has fingers in all of that. And so the key to that, as Rob mentioned, and I agree with it, is the vaccine and getting through this and getting kind of on the other side of this pandemic. And I do think that there are a lot of opportunities to be unified going forward. I think that there's uniform agreement that we need to get past this, and that, you know, the more folks that are vaccinated and the more advances that we have in treating those who do get the disease is certainly a significant part of all of this. And I agree with Rob. I think that there are areas that there will be silver linings coming out of this, and areas that are identified that there are tremendous areas to come together, but also areas of, you know, things are just going to look different. And the point that I would bring up on that is our the way that we correspond, in the way that we work, the way that we get health care, the way that we educate, and using broadband and the connectivity like we never have before. So I think we're going to see that change. And then the political environment. I think that a lot of things have just settled down. And we've seen that just in the last several weeks since the election, I think. And already talking about the election of 2022 and even 2024. So, you know, we're I think we can be unified in that we're all interested in politics as well. So I am hopeful. I'm very hopeful looking forward to this next year for a lot of different reasons. And again, advancements in different ways of looking at education, healthcare, the way that we work. I think that there's a lot of opportunities to make things better.
So the White House will turn over here in a few weeks. We'll learn in just a few days if Republicans maintain control of the U.S. Senate or if Democrats are to win a couple of seats down in Georgia. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, Governor Roy Cooper gets another 4 years. Senator Berger still leads the upper chamber. Speaker Tim Moore presides over the House. So that's to say Republicans maintain control of redistricting. State government really doesn't look much different now than it did a year or 2 years ago. So are you expecting anything of significance to change? Becky?
You know, I think that there were some subtleties that are different than they were previous to the election and going into this next year. And I think that what we saw during the election was that North Carolina is probably more conservative, and I don't mean that in a political Republican or Democrat sense, but just more conservative than maybe certainly other states are across the country. And so I think that where I am sensing that there's a little bit of a pullback on the Democratic side to be more moderate rather than to buy into sort of the new wave of the AOC type of Democratic Party that we're seeing at the national level. So I think in some cases that North Carolina will veer, the pendulum will swing back a little bit more to the right. I'm optimistic, for example, that we're going to be able to reach a budget agreement during this next legislative session going into the next year. And some other things, I mentioned broadband connectivity before. I think there's wide agreement that there needs to be advancement to make sure that North Carolinians across the state have access to broadband, also looking at health care and some of those things. So I sense, and I'm the eternal optimist, to be the first to admit it, but I'm sensing that the issues that are going to be before the General Assembly in this next session, this next year, and it, to the governor's office, that there's going to be some agreement to move some things forward in areas that have been designated through this pandemic are really critical areas for North Carolinians.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm hopeful, too. I hope that we can find some ways to bridge some gaps. I'm troubled by the fact that it doesn't seem, maybe there's some inklings of hope here, but I don't see any indication that there's any seriousness amongst the leadership of the General Assembly of attacking this enormous problem that remains of having a vast percentage of our population uninsured. The fact that we've got a huge proportion of our population just struggling to pay their bills and not even sure, indeed, whether they're going to get their next meal. We've got some huge economic problems, some huge economic divides, tremendous degrees of suffering. And then there's the whole problem of our education system, where we've got a court order to provide people with a sound basic education. And we're not seeing much indication of seriousness of attacking that problem. I never frankly saw much of this supposed left slant from the Democratic Party in North Carolina. It always seemed to me taken a pretty moderate stance already. So I'm still hopeful maybe we can come together. I'm hopeful that Governor Cooper's trying new ways to try to find common ground over healthcare access and trying to come up with some ways to save our rural hospitals by drawing down federal funding. Perhaps there'll be some new creative things done in Washington that will make it easier for us to expand healthcare in North Carolina. But, you know, it's going to be a slog. I don't think we're going to have any massive breakthroughs.
Well, I think one thing that we're going to see is a focus on getting the economy back and running. And as we come out of this pandemic and as the vaccine is widely distributed and people are able to get back to work, we're able to open businesses again, I think there's going to be a real focus on getting people back to work. That's the key to solving a lot of these problems, is just a robust economy as we saw before any of this hit. So I think there's going to be I think you're going to see a real focus on that. And I anticipate that that will be a very bipartisan effort to get North Carolina back up and running again.
But in the months between now and when that's possible, we desperately need more relief. We need relief for restaurants and small businesses that it's just not safe for them to be open. And as the health crisis continues to worsen here in the weeks and months ahead, we've got to have public support for those private institutions that keep them up so that they still exist when the time comes that we can reopen.
Well, and it certainly appears that Congress is addressing that, and it looks like there will be some kind of relief package coming to across the states, and North Carolina, of course, being part of that.
And it will be interesting here in the weeks and months ahead to see what the General Assembly does, if anything, with some of its reserves and cash available on hand, because the General Assembly does have several billion dollars in a couple of different coffers But to kind of hone down on the legislature a little bit, General Assembly reconvenes mid-January. Time will tell if any major compromises on spending, a new budget, reminder, we don't have one, haven't had a new budget in a year and a half, or Medicaid expansion ultimately come to fruition. So setting aside some of those bigger ticket items, budget, healthcare for a moment, I'm wondering what you, Rob, let's start with you, are optimistic that they can achieve this year. Broadband, mental health, infrastructure, other things. What are you optimistic that they might be able to push across the finish line?
I think those are good ones. We need a school bond. We need money to rebuild our crumbling public schools. You know, we've seen some encouraging progress when it comes to second chance work. That is work for people who are formerly incarcerated, and frankly, reducing dramatically the number of people we incarcerate in this state. There seems to be a growing recognition amongst conservatives that the get tough on crime approach was a failure. Locking people up for nonviolent drug offenses was a mistake. We're now paying part of the price for that with these disastrous spread of COVID within our prison system. That's one where I would hope very much that we could get past the sort of easy knee-jerk rhetoric we sometimes hear about getting tough on crime and really getting serious about making progress in this area and dramatically reducing the number of people we incarcerate. It saves money to the state, and it actually, in the long run, is better for society. One of the areas that was an enormous success in 2020 was how the Raise the Age program really worked very well. This idea of raising the age from 16 to 18 in which we prosecute young people as adults. And that has resulted in a terrific number of young people being removed and prevented from going into the adult criminal justice system. And that's going to pay dividends for years to come. We need to bring more of that approach. I think that's one area maybe where we could find some common ground.
I agree with Rob. I think that is one area. And this really opens the door to look at our entire criminal code and duplication, the confusion. One of the impacts of this sort of mess that has evolved over the years with duplication and confusion on what is a crime and what isn't a crime has had a real chilling effect on people starting businesses and pursuing their dreams as far as occupational licensing and expanding their opportunity. So I think it opens the door to really look at the criminal code and to rewrite the entire thing that's a big lift, but I think it's something there's an interest in that at the General Assembly and something that I think should be done. I mentioned broadband earlier. I think we're going to see a bipartisan effort to ensure that broadband is available to people across the state, particularly in our rural areas. Different challenges in different parts of the state with that, but I think we're going to see a statewide effort. And another area where I think we're going to see a lot of focus is on education. And as we come out of the learning loss that we already know is occurring, we're not sure exactly the depth or the width of that at this point, but it's certainly something that's going to have to be addressed of how do we get our kids back up to the level that they need to be. And again, one of those silver linings, one of the things that we've learned through the pandemic is that, you know, kids learn differently. Their needs are different. And so school choice and the different opportunities for different ways that kids learn, this notion of a one size fits all, every kid is the same, every kid is treated the same, every approach to education is administered the same to every kid is outdated. And again, I think we've seen that big time during the pandemic. So I anticipate that we'll have a lot of discussion about how to make sure that every kid has the best opportunity that fits their needs and their family's needs as we move forward in addressing, again, one of the problems we're going to be left with after this pandemic.
Rob, anything else?
Well, I would say one other area that I pray that we'll get serious about together in 2021 is the climate emergency. The situation is dire. We are living on borrowed time at this point. It is, it is the existential crisis that faces human society in this new decade and really for the next several to come. And we have got to tackle it with everything we can bring to the table. That together with the other environmental crises that we face, the PFAS, forever chemicals that are spreading through our drinking water. We've got a huge environmental set of environmental challenges in this state. I I fervently hope that that's something we can come together on.
Let me ask an unscripted, admittedly, follow-up here, directed more toward Becky, but Rob, please jump in. You are the driver of an electric vehicle. Becky, we've talked about climate change before. I don't necessarily want to open the can of worms now that we're 15 minutes into the conversation, but I'm wondering if there are any climate-friendly policies as we think about vehicles that are cleaner, as we think about angles to foster more competition within the auto industry. Is there anything that you support?
Well, you know, I mean, whether it's electric vehicles, whether it is the energy source that we have, whether it's solar energy, and, you know, first of all, I mean, you know, everybody wants clean water, clean air. They want a healthy environment for individuals, for children, you know, all, I mean, that's a given. But I think what it comes down to is affordable cost of these kind of things. And the more that there are mandates for or and subsidies for things that whether it's solar energy, whether it's electric cars, whether it's any of those kind of things, it raises the cost of energy for everyone across the board. And when energy costs are high, the cost of everything goes up, whether that's food, whether that's automobiles, whether that's heating or cooling your house, keeping your refrigerator running. And so the key to me in all of this is, how do we have the lowest cost energy sources that are accessible to the most people? And of course, the people who are most impacted when the cost of energy goes up are low-income people. So it further disenfranchises them. It further exasperates the poverty that a lot of people live in. So I think that one of the filters that we have to have on all of these things is, what is the cost involved with it? And if it's going to raise the cost of energy, there are real implications to that.
Two quick points. One is that the cost of solar and wind is falling like a rock, thanks both to public investments and it's just effectiveness. Oil companies are actually writing down the value of their holdings now because fossil fuels are a thing of the past. The other thing to keep in mind is that the cost of subsidies now is massive. The way we subsidize the fossil fuel industry, both directly and indirectly, because we spend literally trillions of dollars cleaning up the mess that results, the environmental disastrous messes that happen as a result of the fossil fuel industry, we would actually save money. We can save how much we're spending by shifting away from that. We won't have to be spending vast sums of public money cleaning up the mess. And that, in effect, is the massive subsidy that's already being provided to the fossil fuel industry. And it is, of course, the effects of fossil fuel pollution that almost invariably hit low-income people, people in marginal areas. They're the ones who always end up living next to the chemical factories and the coal plants. All of those protections would be enhanced as to the extent we move away from that. And as a practical matter, it's a life or death matter for the species and for the planet. We have no real choice. Even if it costs more, we've got to do it.
We'll chat more about this in 2021, I imagine. Rob Schofield is director of NC Policy Watch. Becky Gray is senior vice president at the John Locke Foundation. Enjoy your weekends.
Happy New Year, guys.
Same to you. Thank you.
A truncated version of our weekly reviews can also be heard on that old school terrestrial radio, 450 Friday afternoons on WUNC.org or 91.5 FM if you are in or close to the Triangle. We'll stop by again on Tuesday. I'm planning to have a conversation with Deborah Ross. The Democrat will be sworn into the 117th U.S. Congress over the weekend. Until then, for Becky and Rob, I'm Jeff. Enjoy your weekend.
Bye.